Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the March NJEDA board meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Please be advised, today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad to be placed in a queue to speak and provide comment. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1, then 0 command. And if you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you should require assistance during the conference call, please press star, then 0. I would now like to turn the conference over to Chairman Kevin Quinn. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Operator. Tim, if you could call the open public meeting notice.
In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star Ledger and the Times of Trenton at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State. One last time, back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Tim. Minera, if we could do a roll call.
Chairman Kevin Quinn.
Present.
Vice Chairman Charles Solo.
Here.
Phil Olivia.
Here.
Robert Shimko.
Here.
Executive Representative Noreen Giblin.
Here.
State Treasurer Elizabeth Moyo.
Here.
Labor Commissioner Robert Angelo.
Here.
Elizabeth Dragon for DEP Commissioner Sean Lazarette. Justin Zimmerman for Banking Commissioner Marlene Caridi.
Here.
Virginia Bauer.
Here.
Marcia Marley.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Minera.
Minera, Fred Dumont's here, too.
Oh, good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Minera. Sorry about that.
All righty. We have approval of one set of minutes from last month's February 8th NJEDA board meeting. Can I kindly request a motion to approve?
So moved, Angelo.
I get a second.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, we'll move to the chairman's remarks. I think everybody who checks out their email has seen that this will be my last board meeting today. With no regrets but a heavy heart, I'm resigning to accept a senior role in the U.S. Department of Commerce's CHIPS program. In August 2022, Congress passed and President Biden signed the CHIPS and Science Act, which provides approximately $280 billion in funding to boost domestic research and manufacturing of semiconductors. In my professional life, I was a banker focused on the global electronics industry. I'm well acquainted with the companies, the leadership teams, the challenges, and the issues facing the industry. I'm intrigued by and excited by the challenging policy goals of the legislation and the opportunity to serve my country. As you know, I joined the EDA board at a time of great public scrutiny. Hopefully this board meeting will go better than my first. I was a political and government neophyte, and as such, I was uncomfortable as I had ever been in my professional life. Thankfully, I enjoyed the support, wisdom, and warmth of each of you. I'm like the John Boehner of the EDA. Yeah, and my orange tan.
Yeah, exactly.
On my first day, I was impressed with the quality of our team, your thoughtfulness, your responsiveness, and your sense of humor. To look at our progression from the heavy scrutiny of the spring of 2019 to what we've become is a testament to the hard work, dedication. And integrity of each of you. That was my Mark Rubio moment, the shaking world. The EDA has become a model economic development organization to the nation. Our commitment to the underserved urban communities, to restoring our state's innovation heritage, to economic relief during an unprecedented pandemic, to ensuring a cleaner energy future for New Jersey, to unique programming like our Innovation Evergreen Fund, and to meaningful governance reform, and the list goes on. The quality of our people and your ability to execute is acknowledged by the increasing and ongoing appropriations from our governor and the state legislature. Only 4 short years ago, it would have been hard to imagine the state's government's obvious confidence in our stewardship of taxpayer funds. It's truly amazing. I am humbled by your achievements, and I thank you for allowing me to be part of your success. Thank you.
On the budget. Thank you, Treasurer, for all the wonderful things, and the Governor for all the things that are coming our way in the budget, and a number of program-related announcements, including that we'll open the window for the manufacturing vouchers later today. But I will dispense with that because the business of the day is the bittersweet news that you just shared, Chairman. I have so much in my heart, and I know on behalf of the entire team at the EDA, so many things that we want to say and need saying that it's staggering to think about the impact you've had on this organization. I remember, honestly, fondly the wrong way. I remember very specifically the climate in which we found ourselves, the circumstances of our getting to know each other almost 4 years ago to the day, and your leadership, your stewardship, your partnership, your friendship, your availability around the clock to deal with all manner of challenges, big and small. It's been nothing short of extraordinary, and I will forever be grateful to you for your leadership during that initial period of great crisis and stress, and then in through a different kind of one, but the pandemic and all the things we were called upon to do and got to do during the pandemic. But I think, you know, your 4 years at the helm of the board will be marked by a few things. One, your stewardship in fixing what needed fixing, and I'm not ready to declare mission accomplished. We're still working on some of those things, and you're never done being good at compliance and being good at first rate at being a taxpayer steward. We've made tremendous progress. That's because of your leadership and drive for us to do the right thing at all times. And then programmatically, too. I remember calling you during the beginning, almost 3 years ago to the day, at the beginning of the pandemic, saying, I think we're going to do a small business grant program. We're, like, looking in the couch cushions, maybe we can find a couple million bucks. We'll do something just to help. Who knows how long this is going to last. We'll do a program in April or May. This will all be over, and everybody will be back. And you say, great, that's good. We should do this. And then it's a little bit like the sign at McDonald's where they used to count the number of hamburgers they sold. And it just became like we're just doing a lot of this. And that was like billions and billions. There are more than 90,000 small businesses directly impacted by that work during the peak of the pandemic. And then on to implementation of the Economic Recovery Act, the Evergreen Fund. We'll talk a little bit about that today. The Emerge program, that's today as well. Inspire, Hub, the Helix project we did last month. The Strategic Innovation Center's work. The Windport. I remember also calling and saying, hey, in addition to all the challenges you're seeing, we're also going to try and pull off a 200-acre massive construction project in the shadow of a nuclear tower. That sound okay by you? And I remember asking a million questions, and we continue to until your very last day here. The support and good humor and good energy you brought to all those things. We are a vastly better organization today. For your time with us and for your leadership, and enduringly and forever, I'm grateful to you for your friendship, your leadership, your partnership.
Thank you, Tim.
I bring, however, with me a higher authority of congratulations, which is a big message from our governor. Sometimes when we have people moving on, I do
I'm throwing my hair out.
An annotated version. Okay.
Get in trouble on your last day.
Sometimes I annotate these or abbreviate them, but I'll do the full thing, the chairman. Dear Kevin, thank you for your distinguished service as the chairman of the board of the New Jersey Economic Development Authority and leading with unparalleled vision, thoughtfulness, and grace. I'm grateful for all you have done to ensure that efforts to build a stronger and fairer New Jersey economy successfully transition from good intention to real reform. Because of your leadership, the NJEDA restored faith in its ability to serve as an effective steward of taxpayer resources. Together, we broke ground on the nation's first purpose-built wind port, reclaimed our leadership in the film and digital media industry, made groundbreaking investments in startup businesses through venture capital initiatives, and created new incentives designed to diversify and grow our state's economy. Further, NJEDA strategic investments in our main streets, small businesses, families, and restaurants, residents cannot be overlooked. And I cannot express my gratitude for all the NJEDA did to support our state throughout the pandemic. It's been an honor and a privilege to work with you over the last 4 years. Be sure that the investment of your time and expertise has played an important role in growing New Jersey's economy, making our state the best in the nation to live, work, and play. Please accept my gratitude and very best wishes on this exciting new endeavor. And there are handwritten notes, in addition to that formal lawyer-approved language. Okay, you have rocked it. Deep thanks for all, and congratulations, P, as in Philip, as in Phil, together in the state. I would open the floor to any board members who have any reactions, perspectives, congrats they want to offer to the chairman. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Tim.
I'm in the meeting for a minute. Is that okay?
Please. Chair, echoing the words of Tim, it's been a great pleasure. You brought kind of a light heart to the chairmanship of this board. I think all the board members, and certainly the EDA staff, certainly appreciate your leadership and your guidance. Tim hit the highlights, but over the last 4 years, we've had everything thrown at the EDA and the board, and you guided the whole organization. But I also remember that first day. I think you and I briefly talked on the phone before that first meeting. I didn't know what to expect. I've been a board member for a long time, and that was unprecedented. And I think in your remarks, I mean, I took it that, you know, the EDA as an organization was its credibility and its reputation were being challenged. And that was a defining moment, I believe, for the EDA organization. And here you stepped in, and you got through it like a champ. You really did. And, you know, I think because, you know, as you can see, the EDA is, I think, stronger than ever. I think the reputation and credibility was never tarnished. I think it's because how you handled that first meeting from that day forward. So thank you. Congratulations.
Much appreciated.
Tim, it's Jenny Bauer. First of all, I'm so deeply sorry I'm not there personally. I'm out of state. If I was anywhere close, I would be with you all. Kevin, I would love to give you a big hug and thank you personally because you helped me contribute as much as I thought I could do as a board member for EDA. As many of you know, I worked with the EDA many years ago, and I'm just so incredibly proud to see the evolution of this agency and the good work and the transparency, and that's all by your leadership, working along with Tim and this tremendous agency. And, you know, many of your questions during committee meetings help me understand and look at things differently, and I'm very, very grateful to have worked with you. I wish you the very, very best, and again, I'm sorry I'm not there to give you a big hug, but hopefully we'll have a chance to cross paths in the future. So best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jenny. Much appreciated. I miss you too.
I'll just say one thing. It's bad that you're leaving, but I'm excited, like I wrote to you, about where you're going, because you're going to be part of an effort that's critically important to this nation and to businesses in this nation, and I couldn't be more excited on your behalf and on the state's behalf that we're going to have one of our best and brightest working on behalf of that effort. So congratulations to that, but thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you so much.
For the EDA and for the state.
I appreciate that.
Last thing I'll mention before we move on, we have business to do today as well.
I hope whenever I pass, my eulogies go this well. I almost feel like we should go straight to a bar right now.
Not going to get much better for me.
Somewhere.
I'd like to make that motion.
That's true.
We've got to do some business first. Go, but vote fast. That's fine. That's fine with us. The other thing I'll mention before I hand the floor back to you, Mr. Chairman, is that the next time we have this meeting, sitting next to me will be Sherry O'Toole, who Governor Murphy announced as the next chair, coming in to fill Kevin's, as described, very large shoes in this board chair role. Thrilled to have the governor make that wonderful selection of Terry. We've gotten to know him over the last couple of weeks. I've known him for a bit, but gotten to know him more directly over the last couple of weeks in getting ready for this. And he's been enormous shoes to fill. And I know he'll take that challenge on with vigor and the same grace and charm that he brought to the board. Terry's a great pick, notwithstanding that he's a proud Villanova grad. And in the spirit of bipartisanship, Terry and I have agreed to work together despite the East rivalries.
It comes down to tonight,
exactly.
Wait, it used to be a rivalry.
Take back everything I said. I'm kidding. Basketball and trauma of Big East, notwithstanding, thrilled with Terry's joining. We're having him in this seat. You will be missed, but you'll have a strong successor. Obviously.
Well, just an FYI, Terry and I have known each other for almost 30 years, and Terry's a good friend, and Terry is a talent upgrade. I'm telling you all that right now. And he'll prove that over time.
All right. You'll deflate. That was like the year report. There's a lot. There's a lot there.
Are we going to – should we get back on with the agenda? Is there a bar open?
I don't think those are actually exclusive. I'm sure we can find something in the building to help us out.
All righty. We're going to start with some policy matters. As chair of the policy committee, we reviewed several items. One, we have the final adoption of the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Program rules, and then we have three MOUs, two with Camden County higher ed institutions that will support the expansion of programs to prepare students and workers for jobs in heavy steel offshore wind component manufacturing, and an MOU with Capital City Redevelopment Corp to continue to provide support services, and then lastly, an MOU with the New Jersey Commission on Science, Innovation, and Technology to utilize funds to implement the new Food and Agricultural Research and Development Pilot Grant Program. Lastly, we'll have a recommendation for the utilization of additional funding for the New Jersey Manufacturing Voucher Program. So with that, let's move on. We're going to begin with the final adoption of the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Program rules. Alexander Pachman, Manager of Venture Programs, presenting.
Good morning. This month, we are requesting the Board's approval of the submission of the final program regulations for the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund program to the Office of Administrative Law for publication on the New Jersey Register. The New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund is a public-private partnership that fosters collaboration among established corporations that will purchase program tax credits and put forth strategic value to the state's innovation economy, venture capital firms that will invest funds raised, and finally, innovative early-stage businesses that will receive program funds in the form of investment capital. The Evergreen Fund program and the program specially adopted new rules were approved by the Board on April 19, 2022. No comments were received during the public comment period, which ended on August 20th. Staff is proposing two agency-initiated non-substantial amendments to the program regulations, which are detailed in this month's memorandum and were previewed for the policy committee members on February 23rd. The goal of the proposed non-substantial amendments is to increase clarity and practical efficiencies in program operations upon final adoption. I'll pause here, and if there are any questions, I'd be happy to field them at this time.
Any questions for Alex? If we have no questions for Alex, can I get a motion to approve? Thank you, Elizabeth. Can I get a second?
Give them a second.
Thank you, Noreen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, let's move to thank you, Alex. Let's move to the next item, offshore wind submerged arc welding memorandum of understanding, EDA and Camden County Technical Schools and Camden County College. Kathy Juha, Senior Program Officer, Wind Institute Development, presenting. Kathy.
Good morning. Members are asked to approve the NJEDA entering into two similar memorandums of understanding for welding workforce development in Camden County and the utilization of $307,408 in funding from the $10 million allocated via the October 27, 2022 MOU between EDA and the New Jersey Board of Public Utilities for offshore wind initiatives. This work is being pursued as part of the EDA's efforts to stand up the Wind Institute for Innovation and Training. The MOUs before you will support sub-arc welding programs in Camden County, one at the vocational schools, Camden County Technical Schools, which will be referred to as the technical schools, and the other at the community college, Camden County College, which will be referred to as a college. Sub-arc welding is a welding specialization of increasing demand and a skill set that is needed for large-scale steel component manufacturing, such as monopiles and towers. To build a talent pipeline for offshore wind component manufacturing, the EDA entered into similar MOUs with Gloucester County Institute of Technology and Salem County Vocational Technical School to support the expansion of the school's welding and painting program. The EDA now seeks to enter into a similar set of MOUs with Camden County to provide expanded welding training opportunities for residents in Camden and the surrounding areas. The technical school provides training and education for secondary students, and the college provides training and education for post-secondary students, but at the high school facilities. The technical school and the college have a long-standing partnership, collaborating to provide opportunities at the secondary and post-secondary level to residents in Camden County to meet the workforce development needs of the region. The MOU with the technical school will enable the EDA to provide $207,738 in funding to them to support expansion of their submerged arc welding program and cover costs associated with equipment and supplies, materials and marketing, professional development and installation time for welding instructors, as well as scholarships to provide affordable and accessible training and other related costs to support the delivering of the welding training. The MOU with the college will enable the EDA to provide $99,670 in funding to them to support expansion of their submerged arc welding program for the post-secondary students and will cover similar costs. The main difference is that the college will not be procuring equipment, but rather be using the equipment purchased by the technical school. The proposed MOUs each have a term of 24 months, and the schools will have to track and report on the use of their funds. We are also requesting to provide delegated authority to the CEO to extend the MOU by up to 12 months if needed. Thank you for your time, and I will be able to take any questions that you may have on these two MOUs.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. Do we have any questions for Kathy?
Real quick, first of all, this was fantastic and exactly the kind of stuff that EBA should be doing to support the employers you're looking to work with. Just curious if you talk about any of the connection between the employers in the situation. I know the EEW you've mentioned here, like, what is there, do they have a direct tie to the two institutions?
Gloucester County Institute of Technology has been working closely with EEW. They have hired some people from the post-secondary program, and they communicate constantly. So there's definitely a good working relationship between the two programs.
Other questions for Kathy? We have no other questions. Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Liz. Can I get a second?
Second, Orange.
Thank you, Phil. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any refusals, abstentions? Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Okay. I think Jen wanted to see the ball go through the net.
I thought,
she was just watching.
Yeah,
I thought there was a third memo. MOU to approve. All right, we're moving to the memorandum of the MOU with Capital City Redevelopment Corp. Danielle Esser, Director of Governance and Strategic Initiatives, presenting. Danielle.
The members are asked to approve a memorandum of understanding between the NJEDA and the Capital City Redevelopment Corporation, confirming the mutual understanding and intention between the agencies with respect to the provision of the authority support services to the CCRC. This MOU was approved by the CCRC at its annual Board of Directors meeting on February 21st. CCRC was created in 1987 as an instrumentality of the state to plan, coordinate, and promote the public and private developments in the Capital District. The original MOU regarding support services between the CCRC and the authority was executed in 2014 and has been renewed by mutual consent annually, whereby the authority provides staff support services to the CCRC. The members are, requested to extend the MOU for another one-year term as provided by the terms of the agreement. In particular, the authority will continue to provide staff and administrative services in support of CCRC, including but not limited to board governance, public information and board support, legal services through the Attorney General's Office. EDA will continue to work with the CCRC and the City of Trenton to support specific project development. Future transactional real estate activity may result in fee for service work as agreed to by the parties and consistent with how the authority's real estate division customarily charges for its assistance. The MOU shall remain in effect for 1 year and may be extended for 1 year upon mutual consent indefinitely and will become effective upon execution by both parties. So therefore, the members' consent is requested to execute the MOU between the CCRC and the authority, confirming the mutual understanding and intention of the agencies with respect to the provision of the authority support services to the CCRC. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Danielle. Do we have any questions for Danielle? We have no questions for Danielle. Can I get a motion to approve?
Motion, Mr. Dragon.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Can I get a second?
Second, Angela.
Thank you, Rob. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right. Next item on the agenda, dedication of funds towards Commission on Science, Innovation, and Technology for Food and Agricultural Research and Development Grant Program. Rucha Gadre, Senior Advisor, Food Security and Innovation, presenting.
Thank Rucha. You, Chairman.
All right.
Good morning, members of the board. As part of our continued effort to improve food access and strengthen food security for the state of New Jersey, I am here today requesting the members to approve the transfer of $750,000 from NJEDA's fiscal year 2022 budget to CSIT. Through the Fiscal 22 Appropriations Act, the state appropriated $3.5 million to the Authority for Food and Agriculture Innovation. We will utilize $750,000 of the $3.5 million to identify urgent challenges and research solutions with potential of improving food access. In June of 2019, members approved a MOU between the authority and CSIT with two goals: support CSIT and ramp up the market for research and development. In June of 2019, this MOU complemented the authority's tech and life science activities and continues to support the governor's strategic plan for economic development. Since 2019, EDA has partnered with CSIT on many fronts, most recent one being the Infant and Maternal Health Research Program. As the authority seeks to deepen its impact on improving food access and strengthening food security for the state of New Jersey, the Food and Agriculture Research and Development Program, in partnership with CSIT, is a key strategy for EDA to advance its goals. This partnership will focus on early-stage innovation-based companies to conduct research and develop technologies to transform research-based discoveries into commercially viable products and services as it relates to food access and food security. The program is specifically for companies conducting research and development on and testing technologies in areas of life sciences, for example, would be soil health, indoor agriculture, aquaculture, and so on, technology, creating a digital platform for improved food access and or maybe even reduce food wastage, food and beverage non-retail sectors, so improve and increase distribution of farm fresh products, improve and increase the capacity of farmers, and so on. Transportation and logistics, applications designed to facilitate business-to-business connection with local farmers, food deliveries, and also in intentionally reduce carbon footprint. The program, the Food Agriculture Research and Development Pilot Grant Program, will be based on the principles of science and aim to drive collaboration with diverse set of stakeholders committed towards strengthening food security for the state of New Jersey. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Rucha. Any questions for Rucha? We have no questions. Can I get a motion to approve?
Robert Chimko, approve.
Thank you, Robert. Can I get a second?
Second.
Jenny. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, recommendation for utilization of additional funding for the New Jersey Manufacturing Voucher Program.
Ivan Mendez, Senior Product Officer, Sector Financing and Incentives. Ivan.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the board. Today, the members are asked to approve the utilization of $13.75 million from the Fiscal Year 2023 Appropriations Act, known as Manufacturing Industry Initiative, to fund eligible applications under the NJ Manufacturing Voucher Program. Two, delegation to the Chief Executive Officer to accept up to $25 million in additional funds from any available governmental funding source, federal, state, county, or municipal, to further fund this pilot program, and to impose additional requirements as may be required by law as a condition of accepting, providing the requirements are consistent with the parameters of the program as approved on October 12, 2022. On June 30, 2022, Governor Murphy signed the Fiscal Year 2023 Appropriations Act into law. The act allocated significant state funding for numerous strategic economic development investments to support key industries, advance the innovation economy, continue to bolster recovery, and spur statewide growth. These strategic investments include, but are not limited to, $35 million for a manufacturing industry initiative to grow and strengthen the state's manufacturing sector. On October 12, 2022, the members of the board approved the creation of the New Jersey Manufacturing Voucher Program, which included the utilization of $20 million of the available $35 million for the manufacturing industry initiative's budget appropriation to stimulate private sector investments to modernize New Jersey's manufacturing industry. NJMVP contains a two-step application process consisting of a pre-qualification and a subsequent application. Based on pre-qualifications accepted between December 15th and December 22nd of 2022, the authority has received funding requests under NJMVP that represents over $56 million. Because demand exceeds the $20 million in funding that the members approved for this program, staff is requesting approval to use an additional $13.75 million from the same $35 million manufacturing industry initiative appropriation to further fund any eligible applications under the NJMVP program. If approved, this will increase the total funding utilized for NJMVP from $20 million to a total of $33.75 million, allowing the program to assist a greater number of New Jersey manufacturers. Because demand will still exceed available funding, even with the members' approval of these additional funds, staff is requesting delegated authority for the Chief Executive Officer to accept up to $25 million of any additional government funding that may become available, and to impose additional requirements as may be required by law as a condition of accepting, providing that the requirements are consistent with the parameters of the program as approved on October 12, 2022. The $25 million is the estimated maximum amount required to fully fund all eligible applications. Approval of this request will ensure that if additional funding does become available, staff can deploy those funds as efficiently as possible without further board action required. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivan. Do we have any questions for Ivan?
We're going to need a bigger vote is what he was
All right, if we have no questions for Ivan, can I get a motion to approve?
So moved, Angela.
I'll move.
Thank you, Bill. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right. Thank you, Ivan.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to the incentives portion of our agenda. Virginia Bauer, chair of our incentives committee. Jenny, would you like to say a few words in advance?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, I'll just reiterate my very best wishes to you. I'm certain you're going to be successful in your next venture. And I, too, know Terry O'Toole, and I know we're going to be in good hands, but it's starting with your foundation, so thank you for that. But, yes, the Incentive Committee did meet on February 23rd, and in addition to a number of COVID-related terminations of which we will discuss, we will be presented, I believe, by Matthew Abraham, a project approval memo for Epibone, and we will hopefully have the board approve this eMERGE tax credit program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jenny. All right, let's move on. Project approval memo, Epibone, eMERGE tax credit program application. Matthew Abraham, Director, Tax Credits Program presenting. Matthew.
Good morning. The members of the authority are asked to approve the proposed eMERGE New Jersey tax credit award based on the company's growth plan with a maximum of 90 new full-time employees for a total of $5,700 per employee per year for up to 7 years to induce EpiBone to site the project in New Jersey. The applicant qualifies for the small business designation. EpiBone is a clinical stage biomedical engineering life science company that is developing technology to create bone, cartilage, and compound from stem cells. The applicant has outgrown its current location in New York Downstate Biotech Incubator. EpiBone has two products in different stages of clinical development requiring its additional space and looking to expand their workforce from 29 full-time employees to 90 employees over 7 years. I think I'm getting choked up as well.
Do we have some water we can...
Yep.
I think that'll help.
No, it's contagious. The proposed New Jersey...
I'm going to take care of you, even though I'm on my way out.
I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. The leadership. Let's go on. The proposed New Jersey site is 95 Green Street in Jersey City, and the alternative site is in Long Island City, New York. The New York site is owned by one of EpiBone's investors, which is Alexandria, which is also a major real estate company. Both sites are renovated buildings for the purposes of attracting biotech and life science companies. Other notable investors in the company is New Jersey's Tech Council Venture, which is NJEDA, in which NJEDA is a lead limited partner investor, as well as Hackensack Meridian Health. The material factor for this is considered to be strong based on the narrative and NJEDA's material factor risk rating model. The New York site is in moving condition with clean rooms already fitted out. Also, New York is offering an incentive valued at $1.5 million and a five-year tax abatement. Based on the applicant's growth plan and our net benefit calculation, this project will yield the state a net positive benefit of 322%, which is above the 300% incentive for this location, or the required 300% is above the incentive location. I am happy to take any questions, and I apologize for the fumbling.
Do we have any questions for Matthew?
I have a couple of great notes to Matt's excellent presentation. One, this is the first we've done of these in a while. The last eMERGE approval was, I believe, September of 2021. We always said we were going to, you know, do fewer of these than the prior sort of corporate tax credit arrangements, and we're back in it, which is a good thing. A lot of that was due to, obviously, COVID and people deferring their real estate decisions, and that's still happening. I wouldn't expect to start seeing it. Multiple of these a month for a while, if ever, because the office real estate market is still quite dislocated. But lab, life sciences, folks that need to be in person all the time, in the sweet spot. We talked about, the predecessor program was not particularly flexible and supportive of growing businesses that are small today that hope to get bigger. This is a good example of why the program was designed to be more supportive of young, growing companies. Third thing I mentioned is Women's History Month. This is a woman-led company, woman-founded company, that we are thrilled to welcome, hopefully, with your vote to New Jersey.
Great. Any other comments or questions? All right, if there's no other comments or questions, can I get a motion to approve?
So moved. Elijah.
Thank you, Bill. Can I get a second?
Jenny Bauer, I'll second.
Thank you, Jenny. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
All right, we're now moving on to Grow New Jersey terminations. This is going to be Susan Greit's part of the agenda. We have three of these. Director of Incentives Relationship Management. The first one is World Business Leaders Grow New Jersey Assistance Program COVID-related termination. Susan.
Okay. As you recall, COVID-related terminations is an offering under ERA for grow businesses to terminate their grow agreements as long as they can show that there were COVID-related impacts that have been part of the decision to do so without any threat of recapture. So As Chairman said, there are three. I'll go through those. The first is for World Business Lenders. It was approved for a grow in February of 2016 for $17 million to incent the creation of 225 new jobs at its 35,000 square foot office space in Jersey City. The project certified completion in December of 2016, received credits of $1.7 million to date. COVID-related impacts resulted in them vacating their QBF in 2020. They continue to work remotely to this day in the state. Now they've requested termination effective 2020. As World Business Lenders was subjected to an event of recapture for failure to meet its jobs in 2019, this request is conditioned upon the timely payment of that recapture. Are there any questions on that?
Wait, do we have any questions for Susan? We have no questions for Susan. Can I get a motion to approve?
Dragon, motion to approve.
Thank you, Liz. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Liz. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, we'll move on to our next Grow New Jersey termination, Flight Center Travel Group. Susan.
Okay. Flight Center was approved for Grow in October of 2015 for $11.4 million for 405 jobs at its 71,000 square foot office in Montvale. Certified project completion in 17 with 376 jobs, resulting in a reduced award of $6.6 million. They've received $2.6 million credits to date. As part of the travel industry, they've certainly suffered some impacts from COVID, financial-related impacts, as a result of the health emergency, and they're concerned that they can't meet their jobs requirements going forward. So they'd like to exit the GROW agreement at this time, effective 2020.
Thank you. So any questions for Susan? We have no questions for Susan. Can I get a motion to approve?
Dragon, motion to approve.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Can I get a second?
Second, Elijah.
Thank you, Bill. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, Susan, last one here, Direct Energy GP LLC.
Okay. Direct Energy was approved for GROW in December of 2014 for $10.2 million to incent the creation of 115 new jobs and retain 276 jobs at a 51,000 square foot office space in Woodbridge. A certified project completion in December of 2018, received $1 million in tax credits, and there's one annual tax credit reporting under review with staff right now. It should be noted that NRG, which is a previously unrelated company, also had a grow for $37.5 million for an office in West Windsor. NRG purchased Direct Energy in 2021 in a stock sale, but Direct Energy continued to operate independently in its Woodbridge facility. As the remote work arrangements came to be a norm for them, the parent, NRG, has determined that they needed to consolidate their real estate holdings and has closed the QBF that Direct Energy had worked out of and has consolidated all of the teams into that West Windsor office place. So they've determined at this time they'd like to exit the GROW. Staff has recommended, in particular with this award, since there are employees, we call them encumbered, at the first GROW, for Direct Energy, we would like to exclude those folks from being able to be incented under the NRG incentive going forward.
Any questions for Susan? We have no questions for Susan. Can I get a motion to approve?
Dragon, motion.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Can I get a second?
Second, Angelo.
Thank you, Rob. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Thank you, Susan. The next item that was on our public agenda, May Street Day Italia, hearing officer's recommendation on appeal, the application for a GROW New Jersey assistance program. This item has been withheld from consideration. The next items on our agenda are related to real estate. Charles Sarlo is the chair of our real estate committee. Charles, would you like to say a few words before?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the Real Estate Committee met. We considered three matters. The first matter that you're going to hear is pretty intense. And if the chairman thought he needed a drink after those speeches, he's going to need a double after hearing this presentation. So it's with regard to the New Jersey Health and Life Science exchange to Helix over in New Brunswick, and it's a request of the board members to replace the equity investment with a participation as a core partner. If you read through the materials, it looks like at least part of it, you know, looks like we're taking about 5,000 square foot of lease, and but then there's, you know, 30 pages of the transaction, and the real estate staff and with the Tim really negotiated a very complex transaction, and we're going to hear from Juan Burgers with regard to that presentation. And then there were two other matters, a pilot, approval of a pilot for the new taxation building and health building between the Department of Treasury and the City of Trenton. And then the last one is a short-term lease extension. So with that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Charles. All right, the first item is the approval of the core partner participation in the New Jersey Health and Life Science Exchange, or HELIX, the next step in the investment in the New Jersey Innovation and Technology Hub. Juan Burgos, Vice President of Real Estate, presenting. Now, we all, Juan is familiar with the temperature of this room, so he has worn a sweater, forgetting that it has been renovated, and now we are at a temperature that I think is very comfortable, unlike years past.
I just want to give you the one last opportunity. I'm more than willing to exchange my sweater for the keys to your BMW.
You know, that was an offer that was almost compelling the days of this room. It was about, you know, 52 degrees, and I couldn't get warm. Not so anymore.
Now you'll pass.
DIAP is requesting that the members approve the next stage of the Strategic Innovation Center investment in this project. The initial investment was a $10 million investment in the Downtown Hub Associates to support the development of the New Jersey Innovation and Technology Hub, which is now called the New Jersey Health and Life Science Exchange, or HELIX. This next stage will require the following, for the board to approve the following: that the authority participate in the building as a core partner, subject to a lease and guarantee. That participation includes that under the lease, there's an irrevocable and unconditional obligation to pay basic and additional rent under the lease, and the authority will be guaranteeing its proportionate share of basic and additional rent programming expenses for the Innovation Hub not covered by the authority's share of the Innovation Hub's revenue. In addition, we're requesting the board's approval to dissolve Downtown Hub, and the obligations of Downtown Hub will be transferred to the lease or related documents or other programs. Background for the project is that the building's about $573,000 square feet in downtown New Brunswick. Rutgers will occupy 77% of the building in the translational research and the new medical school that is being built. The hub itself will be 129,000 square feet. The project will cost approximately $754 million and be funded as follows: $49.9 million in bonds, which is monetizing a board-approved Aspire tax credit award from last month, $260 million in equity, and a $448 million tax-exempt bond issued by the Middle County Improvement Authority. Going back to in the middle of the pandemic, the members approved the $10 million investment in Downtown Hub. The two members of the hub are the Authority and New Brunswick Development Corporation, or DEVCO. The Authority invested $10 million to commit Downtown Hub to acquire, own, or ground lease the property and to pay for the direct architectural, engineering, and initial site development costs for the project. In return for the $10 million investment, the Authority received a mortgage on the property, the right to supervise the project through reporting, the right to approve the project's total development budget, and to participate in the selection of the program manager of the innovation space within the center, within the new building. In addition, the $10 million would be returned to the authority through a rent credit, i.e., the amount outstanding would be applied against the base rental owed by the authority in the new building that was contemplated in the operating agreement. As previously noted, the initial $10 million investment in downtown hub contemplated that the authority would become a tenant of the new building, subject to later board approval regarding whether it would be a core partner in the building. Staff recommends that the authority continue its investment in downtown hub by replacing the authority's equity investment in downtown hub with participation in the building as a core partner under specific terms of the lease and guarantee included with the memo as exhibit B and C. So the authority will occupy approximately 4,900 square feet of pay basic and additional rent on 7,790 square feet, which is the occupied space plus the common. Instead of a rent credit, the authority will be the beneficiary of reimbursement fund that will be funded from bond proceeds by Helix and DevCo. That fund will be used to pay the authority rent, basic rent, and additional rent under the lease, and if required, the authority's guarantee of its proportionate share of the hub's basic and additional rent and program expenses. As I previously noted, as part of the transaction, downtown hub will be dissolved and its obligations transferred to the lease or other related documents. And real quickly about the lease is for 30 years, and basic rent is fixed for the term, and the initial year of basic and additional rent is approximately $440,000. Because the authority's basic rent pays for the bond service, the lease provides that the authority's obligation to pay basic rent is absolute and unconditional, whether or not the project is completed, used, or the project is occupied by the tenant or available for use or occupancy by the tenant. Rent is due notwithstanding any dispute between the landlord and the tenant. Basic rent obligations commence when the bond closing occurs. Additional rent will include the authority's proportionate share of the building's operating costs and payment in lieu of taxes, which starts at $4 a square foot and increases 10% every year, every sixth year of the lease term until the end of the lease. And, of course, it includes all other amounts, liabilities, and obligations, which are due to the landlord from the authority. The lease will require that the landlord and establish a reimbursement fund to fulfill the obligation from the downtown hub operating agreement, i.e., the $10 million rent credit. So that fund will be used to initially pay the basic and additional rent and any exposure for the under the guarantee. Other relevant clause of the lease is that the authority will share a net revenue for the hub for the share that is providing the guarantee. So if there's any excess revenue from this, every core partner will get its proportionate share. So if there's excess after paying all the operating expense for the innovation portion of the building, the authority will be entitled to receive 17% of that revenue. On the other side, its exposure under the guarantee is 17% of the cost of operating that space plus its basic rent obligation to pay the debt service. The lease is an absolute net lease, which means that all the tenants pay all the costs absolutely, and there are limited net remedies against the landlord for default. While the bonds are outstanding, the authority cannot terminate the lease, and there is no recourse against the landlord. All obligations against the landlord are solely obligations payable out of the demise premises and are compensable solely from the demise premises. If, however, the landlord defaults under its obligations and EDA cannot occupy its premises, EDA can demand that the landlord pay from the landlord's capital reserve account the cost to make the premises habitable. The authority retains step-in rights after Rutgers to complete the building if DEFCO or the building owner fails to do so. The building includes the lease also includes a purchase option for a nominal amount in the last year of the lease term. In addition, the authority will have voting rights on the operating permit, which will permit the authority to have a vote in approving the program and the operating budget for the building, future capital improvements and equipment acquisitions for the building, disposition of the building, and the retention of the manager that would operate the hub space. As a core partner, the authority will agree to provide a guarantee to the landlord and the Middlesex County Improvement Authority for its proportionate share, which is 17% of the innovation space. After receiving a credit for any cash distribution under the lease, the guarantee includes paying up to 17% in the Innovation Hub basic and additional rent and programming expenses not covered by the Innovation Hub revenue. There might be minor adjustments to the total Innovation Hub share allocated to the authority due to some changes in square foot and when they're negotiating the other core partner lease. The authority's financial exposure under the lease is pretty much detailed on pages 10, 11 of the memo. Under the best and worst case scenarios, the operation of the Innovation Hub yields the following potential outcomes. In the worst case, the $10 million reimbursement fund is depleted in year 12. And in the best case, the $10 million reimbursement fund will be depleted in year 24. The authority's estimated out-of-pocket cost under the best and worst case scenarios is as follows. In the worst case scenario, in today's dollars, the authority would put out $8.9 million in lease years 12 through 30. And in the best case, it would put out $1.23 million in today's dollars in years 24 through 30 of the lease. Staff recommends approving the authority's participation in the building as a core partner, entering the lease, and providing the guarantee because the project is consistent with the Governor Murphy's economic development strategy of creating supporting jobs in the life science sector by providing the first home for early-stage life science companies and for the other reasons stated in the memo. Now with a mouthful, any questions?
Everybody follows that. Can you repeat that?
Thank you for reading the contract. Do we have any questions for Juan?
I just want to assure everyone that committees have reviewed this item in detail, and so I've had the materials in front of them. I know the explanation was there was a lot of things going on there. So if we have no questions for Juan, can I get a motion to approve?
So moved. Angela.
Can you get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Juan, I want to let you know we had a little bet on the over-under because with the three-minute time.
What did I get?
I took the over. Thank you. The next item is agreements for payment in lieu of taxes. We're sticking with Juan here on this one. Juan.
Staff requests the members approve entering into two pilot payment in lieu of taxes agreements with the State of New Jersey and the City of Trenton for the recently constructed health and tax buildings in Trenton. In December 2017, the state authorized proceeding with the final design and specifications for the Health Department and Taxation Division projects, and the members approved the issuance of one or more series of bonds to fund the development of the buildings. The authority issued the bonds to fund the project, constructed the buildings, and received the certificates of occupancy as follows. The taxation building was received in July of 2021, and the health building was in August of 2021. To support the city's efforts under EO 40, the treasury has decided that it's appropriate to have a pilot paid for these two buildings. So both the clauses included in the memo are in both pilot agreements. So the pilot would start at $1 million, and in the following year it would increase 2%, and it will be capped at $1.25 million thereafter. The obligation of the Treasury to pay The pilot is subject to the state legislature and the availability of bonds. The authority has no obligation to pay the pilot except to the extent the Treasury pays the pilot to the authority. Staff recommends entering to the agreement because the authority has no obligation to pay the pilot if the state does not fund the payment on an annual basis.
Do we have any questions for Juan? No questions for Juan. Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Liz. Can I get a second?
Second. Hold on.
Thank you, Phil. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, let's move to our last real estate item, incubator occupancy extension for Spez Pharma. Lindsay Hartman, Director, NJ Bioscience, presenting.
Good morning. You're asking the members for approval of a five-month extended occupancy for Spez Pharma. This is a resident incubator in North Brunswick, a biotech facility owned by EDA. Under our existing program guidelines, we have already granted the company an 18-month extension that is permissible under our delegated authority. Like a lot of biotech companies, Spez is experiencing difficulty finding post-incubation space in New Jersey. At the Research Park, all of our post-incubation space is full, and this is the same situation throughout the state. We've helped the company look for space over the past several months. Our startup incubator space, however, is not full, and there are a few vacant labs. Given that the incubator rent is subsidized by EDA, a 50% increase in rent is also recommended to bring the space more in line with market rate rents on the Research Park. Staff believes this request will not negatively impact prospective incubator tenants because of existing lab availability. Thank you.
Do you have any questions for Lindsay? We have no questions for Lindsay. Can I get a motion to approve?
Dragon, motion to approve.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Can I get a second?
Kiplin, second.
Thank you, Noreen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, before moving on to board memoranda, Tim, I'm a little disappointed we don't have David Lawyer presenting today because
he's here, though.
He is here.
Live and in person.
Well, that's, but that is so tantalizing. He's here and he's not presenting. As folks know, my two favorite voices over the holidays are Nat King Cole, followed closely by David Lawyer.
Let's
get John before I get out of here. Do you have
anything
bombing
for something, David? Anything in the hopper ready?
Run
the hurry up here. Yeah, not for Kevin's last time here.
Okay.
Let's go to board memorandum. You have the one item in your pack, the economic transformation products. Obviously, as we increase the delegated authority over the last 12 months, you'll see more of these reports and reports like this that are pretty copious. A couple highlights. Film and digital media tax credit, one of the reasons our meetings have gotten a little bit more concise in terms of number of agenda items. We now have delegated authority to do a lot of the film and digital media tax credits. We've done 20 of them under delegated authority for a little less than $42 million. That program obviously continues to have a huge impact on the film and TV industry in New Jersey. The ability to move those with a little bit more alacrity, with the same oversight, a little more alacrity well-received by the industry. Angel investor tax credit as well, 147 investor application approvals for 21 different companies, again, supporting the governor's vision for a robust and innovation economy. So I'm really thrilled by the work that those teams do, and these memos are a reminder that a lot happens at these board meetings, and a lot happens in between and behind the scenes as well. So thanks to the teams that work on those things.
All right, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Tim. So now I'd like to open the public comment portion of the meeting. First, I'd like to ask Daniel Esser to read the EDA's public comment policy and process for this telephonic board meeting. Danielle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As stated in NJEDA's public comment policy, members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment period in person will be acknowledged to speak first. During the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending the meeting by phone who are interested in providing public comment can press 1, then 0 on their phone to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue based on the order received. NJEDA's public comment policy is posted on the NJEDA website and provides that each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, and the topic on which remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit their comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. and a person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure there's enough time for all those who wish to speak. Thank you. We do not have anybody registered at the front to speak, so unless anybody's here.
Anybody in person want to speak?
All right, should we go to the operator?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. For members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question or make a comment, please press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1, then 0 command. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, you may press 1, then 0 at this time. One moment for our first question. We'll first go to the line of Rosemary Hicks. Go ahead, please.
Hello, everyone. I'm back. All that nervous laughter. I just wanted to call in and just thank Kevin Quinn. I understand that you're going to be leaving the board, and I just wanted to personally and publicly thank you for, you know, all of you've done since when I was a board member, and I wish you a lot of luck.
Thank you so much, Rosemary. Much appreciated.
And under 3 minutes. Thanks, guys.
You hear your voice, Rosemary.
We'll go next to the line of Charlie Cratterville. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Charlie Cratterville. I'm the editor of New Brunswick Today, and I wanted to ask about the Helix project here. You mentioned that the EDA will now be a core partner. I was curious if anybody could tell me who the other core partners are and if everyone is equally invested or if there's any disparities.
Hey, Charlie, it's Tim. Good to hear your voice, too. To the extent these are sort of press questions, happy to follow up offline. The other core partners are the governor's announced this from the jump of the project. So it's Rutgers, it's Hackensack Meridian, it's RWJ Barnabas, it's ourselves, and is Princeton a core partner? Is Princeton a
county Middlesex?
And the county Middlesex, thank you, is also a core partner. In terms of the participation, it's proportionate to the amount of space that everyone's taking in the building.
Understood. Thank you.
And if there are any additional,
Mr. Quinn, best of luck to you.
Thank you, Charlie.
If there are any additional questions, please take this opportunity to press 1, then 0 at this time. We have no further questions in queue at this time.
All right. Thank you, operator. Well, I think you guys can tell how much I enjoy our meetings. So it's bittersweet to make this the last one. If there are no additional comments, I'd like to thank everybody for their participation. I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, everyone, for the second.
One more time for the chair.
All right.
Thank
you.
And ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude your conference call for today. Thank you for your participation and using AT&T teleconference services. You may now disconnect.
Please hang up.